Mr. Smith, I love you, Charles, but it's not that in Romans 16. Greet is to salute. If greet was to salute, then it would be salute. These guys, I just want to go and strangle them sometimes. Greet is to salute with some demonstration of personal feeling. They probably feel the same way about me if they're around. Greet is to salute with some demonstration of personal feeling, either favorable or unfavorable. It's just like, you know, politicians, you know, name your politician. He's greeted with boos and catcalls, and so he could be greeted favorably or greeted unfavorably. Well, one of the things that I was able to cull out of a lot of this information is this. Greet, I have found, is used when expressions of friendliness, goodwill, and cordiality are made when welcoming a person, and this was interesting, who has made some kind of a journey, however far or short, they've made some kind of a journey. They've journeyed to you, and therefore you greet them because they have journeyed to meet you. Salute, however, is used in a more formal sense of recognition. Now, it's that more formal sense that I'm interested in. That's where I go mining. That's where I take my tools and say, now there's a mine there. I got to go down it, and I got to start digging. In a more formal sense of recognition of a person, but with no journey being involved. Now, what I have on the board here with greet and salute is not to be understood as chiseled in stone. I'm not to the point where I am satisfied that that's a law of every time it's used. But it seems to me that greet identifies ones who have journeyed to Rome. And it could be however far or short the journey, but they have journeyed to Rome. Priscilla and Aquila's home was not Rome originally. Priscilla and Aquila were movers. They were always on the move. They were going from one place to another to another. So they have come to Rome, and therefore you greet them. Salute identifies, and what's going to be difficult, and if you hold my feet to the fire on all of this, some of these people I know scant to nothing about. But I can trust in my Bible that when salute is used, at least in a very most basic way of all, identifies ones whose residence was in Rome or possibly were native to Rome. And what I tried to do was draw this thing out. Well, now you've got my high-tech animation, 2D, high-tech animation. So it seems to me, that if this guy over here journeys, he's the person doing the journey, he journeys to that person. He's going to journey to that guy's house. So it seems to me that what you've got, and I do believe this has credence to the difference, but this is not yet satisfactory. But you've got this guy journeying to that guy. There he goes. And when he gets there, the guy who resides there, he greets. Greetings. The guy who journeyed there, he's going to do something else. In fact, what he does may be initiated first. He may do his thing first before that guy. But what he's going to do is, he's going to salute, salutations. And one of the things that helps you a lot with the salutes in Romans 16 is to understand these are salutes in the verbal sense, not in a noun. We're not doing that. These are salutations. So that's my understanding. You've got, let me get that guy's, this guy makes the journey. The guy who didn't make the journey, he greets the guy who did. The guy who comes to him is going to salute him. Salutations. That seem to make sense? Okay. And the working definition, to get away from the dictionary definitions, but something specific to the context of what we're dealing with here in Romans doctrine, which deals with our godly edification, greet is to meet and welcome those who have made a journey to see you with verbal expressions of joy and goodwill, but it's specifically in connection with their mutual zeal, enthusiasm, and their dedication to the process of godly edification. These people were not greeting and saluting one another. These people were not coming together and getting together just because they shared, they were all Yankee fans, or because they were all basketball fans, or they were all part of a bridge club, or they were all part of, what are those quilting bees or clubs or things along. That's not why they were getting together. Phoebe sets the pace for all of this. Her work is the work of carrying the scriptures. The very word of God given to the revelation of the mystery was in her hand. The beginning of the revelation of the mystery, as Paul would have it penned and get it in its written form, she carried with her. So she sets the pace for everybody else under that now is going to be within that kind of a context. They're all going to be dealing with this process of what are we now going to do with this information? How is it going to effectually work within us? And when they got together and they talked, that was the central issue of what they were talking about. I'm not saying they didn't talk about other things, but that's when they first meet, that's the icebreaker. That's the means by which they begin and take their first step of fellowship together. It's in the realm of the godly sonship edification process. Well, that takes us then tonight. And let's see, I also made a point, I'm not going to make it again tonight, except to say that, again, if you take these people as some being more important than others, you're not taking it properly. That's not body thinking. But that takes us then to the issue of salute. All right, let's leave greet alone for right now. In fact, that's pretty much all the work that needs to be done with the word greet. It's salute that's a tricky guy. And most often the word salute, and again, you'll see that come up more often than any of these others. The first one you get is that after Priscilla and Aquila are dealt with in verses 3, 4, and 5a, the very next person up on the list is salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And so salute is going to be used more often when it gets to the second list in verse 21. All of the men listed there are saluting the Roman saints. None of them are greeting. They're all saluting. So salute is the more often used word here, and salute has a problem, especially with us in the English-speaking language. Most often the word salute is thought of in a military sense, right? That's the first thing that comes to somebody's mind. Salute. Oh, well, okay. In fact, we almost completely restrict the word salute to that today. And that's a shame. That's unfortunate. And that's what's called, folks, that's what's called a narrowing of a term, the narrowing of a word. And over time and decline, that's what happens to all languages, the English included. Words get narrowed in meaning. The word salute has gotten narrowed over the years to this, almost exclusively to this one meaning. We often become a little incensed, as a matter of fact, whenever somebody uses the word salute, does a salute, performs a salute in a non-military sense. Some people get really torqued off about it, especially military people who see somebody salute somebody and they say, well, if you only knew what that meant to us in the military and that kind of thing. But unfortunately, the word salute has gone the way of most English words in the declining stages of the English language. as it's taken place over the past 100 years, 150 years or so. And like so many other words, salute has been narrowed into one, into a meaning that, that means nearly only one thing, and it's that military or military-like salute. But such wasn't the case in 1611 in the golden age of the English language. So let's look at the word salute and see that it has much more meaning than just simply a military salute. Let's start with skeet. Skeet's etymological dictionary, you don't get a lot of dictionary stuff from skeet. You get where the word came from. And salute is from the French and the Latin, meaning to wish health to. To wish health to. And then to greet. There we go again. Even skeet can't keep from using greet to somehow define salute. I feel like a ping pong ball when I'm trying to figure these guys out. So it's a wishing of health to. Well, there's a little bit of that in the word greet as well. He goes on to say, to greet courteously and respectfully, to pay respects, which begs the question, right? How do you pay respects? You know, about the only time we use the word pay respects is when someone dies. Go to the funeral, you're going to pay respects. That's unfortunate too, because you should be paying respects to the living. And really, that's what you're doing. You're paying respects to those who are still alive, loved ones. But pay respects. And I sit and I look at that and I say, in what way? How? And then I look at myself and say, you got a whole lot more work to do. Well, let's see if the good old OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, helps us out at all. There's three meanings. Those first three meanings are interesting and could apply, and that's kind of the skill of being able to use a dictionary, is getting all these meanings and be able to eliminate them so that you've got the one that is applicable to what you're dealing with in the context. But here's what they say in the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary. Salute means to accost, and I had to look, accost has been narrowed into one meaning as well. Accost wasn't just bad thing, but to accost or address with words expressive of good wishes, respect, or homage, especially with some customary formula of that import. To greet with words. Number two, to greet. Stop using the word greet to define salute. To greet with some gesture or visible action conventionally expressive of respect or courteous recognition. And then they put in there to greet with a kiss. It's interesting, because we're going to have that, right? Verse 16. And what's the word that they use? Salute one another with an holy kiss. In that instance, not greet one another, salute one another with an holy kiss. All right. Well, that gives me something more to go on, a little more. Because it's got to do with, he mentions a gesture. Some of those things are things that trigger matters in my own mind where I say, I think I've read something about gestures in the Word of God before. Even in the book of Romans, there's a particular gesture that you do. And that's, it's not got anything to do with saluting a person, but it starts the ball rolling on some things. And, of course, the OED, I don't have it on the board, but he gives the military sense of to pay respect to a superior by his prescribed bodily movement, presenting arms, the like. And number three, as you see it on the board up there, to pay one's respects to pay a complimentary visit to. Okay. Well, there's no fireworks going off just yet. I mean, I'm grateful to know some definitions, but I still, these words, salute and greet, are so tightly wound together, I still don't see What the difference? Why one in one place and one in another? And you come to this particular exercise just about gets you to the point where you just want to say, throw your hands in there and say, I just plead ignorance and let's move on. But I'll tell you this, we can crack this thing. We can crack it. And the payoff is going to be worth it. Well, after that, we've got, of course, Webster's 1828. And under the word salute, his very first definition, it means to greet. Okay, now I just want some whiskey. Now I just want a big bottle, and this is getting to the point where it's going to push a preacher to cuss or start drinking heavily. It means to greet. Ah. I don't know if this is like clawing on a chalkboard. You're defining one with another. To greet, to hail, to address with expressions of kind wishes. Number two, to please, to gratify. Number three, to kiss. And then in Webster's fourth one, I didn't put it on the board, he gives that typical military sense as well. Now, to me, Smith's synonyms, discriminated, doesn't really shed much light on the word salute. It's in there, but as I read it, and I'll tell you this, this may just be sheer attrition on my part. I'm just getting wore out. But by this time, I didn't see that Smith had anything that was jumping off the page to me that shed any more light on the word salute than what you can find in the dictionary definitions, so I didn't even put him on the board. So, and I'll admit I was torqued off with him a little bit because of what he said earlier. But I honestly and objectively, I really didn't see that there was much to gain from that. However, Crab's synonyms, on the other hand, did say something that started getting my attention. Notice what he says here on the board. This is Crab's synonyms from my book, which was published in 1830. He said this, "We salute our friends upon meeting them." By the way, that agrees with that issue of making the journey. The guy that made the journey is going to salute the guy upon meeting him. They meet. That's both of them. You have a meet. The one doing the journey, saluting, comes from the guy making the journey. So I like that. Salute our friend. We salute our friends upon meeting them. And I kind of ticked that off and said, okay, that seems to line up pretty well. He goes on to say the word salute has the discriminating difference of goodwill or intimacy. Goodwill or intimacy prompt men to salute others. And that intimacy, you see me, I underline that. That got me thinking about some things as well. And then he says, familiar people salute those with whom they are barely acquainted. I had to really think through that one because, one, you've got salute being used in an intimacy issue. The other one, with those who are barely acquainted. But there was a little bit of crumbs there. But to me, I looked at it all and I said, that's not a lot of help. Well, how do you get some help? Maybe, like I said, we need to not think of this word so much in terms of a salute as much as it is a way of saying a salutation. And salutation, that's where a big, huge help was found. Now, and it wasn't from the OED, I'll show you in a moment. You don't need to write this down, but the OED said of a salutation was the action or act of saluting. All right, he hadn't used the word greet yet, so I was thrilled. The action or act of saluting, a manner of saluting, an utterance, form of words, gesture, or movement by which one person salutes another. And it's interesting, and I don't think I've got that one, do I? No. It's interesting, the OED said this in their third definition. It was, in the way a salutation was used in antiquity, they put this, that it was a visit of ceremony paid to a Roman in his house. Used of antiquity, a visit of ceremony paid to a Roman in his house. That was interesting. Well, here's where I finally stood up out of my chair and I said, now I got something. This is salutation. Webster's 1828. A salutation is the act of paying respect or reverence by the customary words or actions. But then this hit me. Inquiring of a person's welfare and expressing to them kind wishes. That little word was huge to me, right there. Inquiring. When you used to write a proper salutation, and Paul wrote 13 salutations. How many letters did Paul write? 13. He wrote a salutation to every one of his 13 letters. They're the first few verses of every first chapter of every book. And that got me thinking. And what I really wanted to do was put this on the board, but I think the typing would be so small, Steve would never be able to see it, and put all 13 of Paul's salutations together. I still might do it. We'll just move Steve up. But this was notable help to me. Notice that when a salutation, there's an inquiring of a person's welfare. Therefore, saluting, coming from salutation, saluting in the sense of a salutation. If you salute somebody, not like this, but you're saluting them in the sense of a salutation. And these are, by the way, these are things that people 200 years ago would readily know. I'm having to recover all of this because nobody in this building was taught English grammar the way it was taught to your grandparents or great-grandparents. You've heard me say very many times that my grandmother, I used to be so sad when she would tell me that she only had an eighth grade education. Well, she was born in 1899. Her eighth grade education is more than most college degrees today in real understanding of reading and writing and arithmetic and those kinds of things, especially grammar. A salutation is an inquiring of a person's welfare. So a salutation, therefore, requires, a saluting in the sense of a salutation, listen, it requires an inquiry. An inquiry, what's the word inquiry mean? You're asking about something, but if Congress panels a panel of inquiry, what are they looking for? Right? That's not the bullseye of what they're looking for. Any inquiry is looking for something. That's it. Bullseye. Truth. They're looking for a particular truth, the truth of a matter. An inquiry is looking for some particular information and truth. And this is a huge advance in our understanding of what saluting is. And especially, as we will see, as God uses the word salute in His Word. That's what excites me, is that we're finally getting around to understanding something about how my Father uses it, how God uses it in His Word. And we're going to see that. As I say, in all 13 of Paul's epistles, they all begin with a salutation. And naturally, because Paul's letters are making a journey to other churches and other assemblies, you have salutations to churches Romans through 2 Thessalonians are all written to assemblies, to churches. His letters are making a journey either to other churches, Romans through 2 Thessalonians, or to other individuals, pastors, bishops. And you have 1 Timothy through Philemon, the pastoral epistles. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but Philemon is commonly, it is very uncommon to think of Philemon as a pastoral epistle. And Philemon is almost set aside by himself as just, I don't know, just he's the appendix of Paul's letters. You know, it's a vestigial organ, which is sad because those 25 verses of Philemon are the most doctrinally condensed, powerful, meaningful 25 verses of all that Paul wrote. To understand Philemon, you have got to be an advanced person in the doctrine of the gospel that was committed to Paul through the revelation of the mystery, and especially of sonship. So, saluting in the sense of salutation requires an inquiry. Paul's letters begin with a salutation. They're making their journey either to other churches, Romans through 2 Thessalonians, or other individuals, bishops and deacons in 1 Timothy through Philemon. And the first thing Paul does in every one of those epistles is he salutes the recipients. And he doesn't do this, and he doesn't exactly oftentimes, and look at, let me give you one example, because sometimes you think of salute as, you know, it's a kind of a spectacular thing, and he's going to laud your accomplishments and all of these things. Well, let's go to a book like Galatians, where Paul isn't lauding their accomplishments at all. Paul is incensed with the Galatians. This is a tough letter. Of all the letters that Paul wrote, I would not want to either be the recipient of 1 Corinthians or Galatians. If that's me, then I'm in deep trouble. But yet, there's a salutation, and Paul starts off very terse with them. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's how it starts off. It blows your hair back. But even that is a salute. That's a salutation. And there are commonalities. I know that you're going to focus on grace to you and peace, or grace, mercy, and peace, and that part of it. But that's really not the part that I'm after when it comes to understanding the salutation. It's something else. But that's included in it. It's included in it. Now just docket that in the back of your mind and put it on the burner, slow burn, and we will take that out and we will cook it on Sunday. But I got something, I was excited here because the ball is rolling now. We got some things going on here with salute. The first thing Paul does in all his letters are salute the recipients. And we can gain a lot of understanding about saluting from those 13 salutations. And Paul also uses the word salutation itself three times in his epistles. He'll use the word salutation, mind salutation, in 1 Corinthians, Colossians, and 2 Thessalonians. I will come back to this later, if I can remember it, when we go and get this passage that God, I think, really tells us what salute is all about. Well, in understanding what salute is all about, we may get some help from not only the word salutation, but we may also get some help from another word that's very similar to salute and salutation, and that's the word, I don't have it on here, I guess. And that's the word, in fact, I know I don't have it on here. I did it for a reason, because I really don't want you thinking about it, but there is this word salutary. Salutary. And basically, salutary means conducive to health. And it has some of the following meanings. This was interesting, by the way. Salutary, a salutary address. When something is salutary, or I'm saying that wrong, aren't I? It's salutary, salutary. It has some meaning, and you're going to see some of these come up here in a minute. But it has some shade of meaning to it of removing disorder. Something that is salutary removes. When they talk about health, goodwill health, how broad is that? I mean, it's extremely broad. Yeah, it's a Hallmark card. Can you narrow that down a little bit so that I know how to labor in this area of saluting? Well, salutary means removing disorder, taking the disorder out of it, creating a healthy environment. Oh, now, that's interesting. Beneficial, providing remedies, improving the condition of those who are in need of it, and bringing a wholesome influence. So I thought I had salutary on my... I thought I had that, but I guess I don't. I missed it when I was making the charts up. So what do we get from this? What do we get out of all of this when it comes to understanding what salute is about? We've gone through these definitions and shades of meaning and all this stuff, and we've got bumps now on our head because we've pounded on our desk so many times because greet means salute, and salute means greet, and greet and salute, and blah, 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 and I'm about ready to do something other than this. Sell shoes or something. But salute, what do we get out of what we've just gone over? And this is what I would call a summary of the dictionary definitions. That salute is a courteous and respectful greeting. To try to glean out of this what would be applicable to the context that we're dealing with here in Romans 16, a salute is a courteous and respectful greeting, a paying of respects to inquire of a person's welfare and to express to them kind wishes. And most importantly, it is to make an inquiry in search for some particular information or truth. When these people come up and salute one another as members of the body of Christ, that salutation is going to make a statement of what they're doing there. And by stating what they're doing there, there should be a response to the person they're saluting. So just docket that in the back of your mind. We're going to take that out and bake it fully on Sunday. To make an inquiry and search for some particular information or truth. Simply put, if I took everything that I just went over with you and kind of boiled it down, salute, according to the dictionary definitions we've just gone over, simply put, is a courteous, kind, and respectful greeting which politely inquires for some particular information concerning the welfare of the one who is being saluted. Now, with all that said, when I pushed back from my desk and I looked at it all and thought about it, to me anyway, I'll tell you what, I don't get a lot of help out of that. That's why I said, poor you people who came to this night's class. How would you like to go to a Bible class and at the end of it say, well, the pastor taught me that I didn't get much out of anything tonight. But I'm just being honest with you. There's something in me that says that does not satisfy. And by the way, my level of satisfaction sometimes gets really low. The bar is pretty low sometimes. But I'm just not satisfied with that. I don't get much help from that, and those dictionary definitions just about drove me to drink because of their definitions and their critical discriminating difference between greet and salute. Greet means salute. Salute means greet. So what do you do in a case like that? And I don't like getting in cases like this. Well, what you have to do in a case like that, the only thing you can do, is take all the dictionaries and set them aside, jettison them, and you get with this book here and this book alone and see if it will provide, and it will. The Bible is its own best dictionary. And there is a place that we're going to look at, and we're, this is great because we're just out of time. Beginning on Sunday, and I'm going to try to do this in two sessions. The first session will probably be mostly setting the context, and the second session getting down to the nuts and bolts of the matter. But I started looking through the Bible and thinking about where there were places. Is there a place where God uses the word salute in such a way that everything that surrounds the use of that word lends to its definition and defining it? And I've found that actually does take place. And if you're reading the Bible through, from Genesis through Revelation, you would have already come across this. And I'm not talking about going back to first usages and things such as that, but there's a place, and I pointed it out to you on Sunday, over in Matthew. And come back to here, because that's where we're going to pick it up on Sunday morning. In Matthew chapter 10, and in the first four verses, you have the Lord, again, we're going back under Israel's program, but you have the Lord choosing out the 12 apostles, and you get all 12 apostles named. Look at verse 5, and we'll just read this, and we're not going to make comment on it, but this is where you'll find what God means when he talks about the word salute. And it applies perfectly in Romans 16 as well. Not the exact information, but what it is applies. Look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any way of any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're not preaching Paul's gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And this is interesting. Provide neither gold. Now, think about between now and when we come back on Sunday, think about what the Lord is purposely, he's intentionally having them do here. He says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey. They're making a journey. Neither two coats. Remember, they're making the journey. They're not the one standing in the house. Where's my house? They're this guy. So they're going to salute, as you'll see coming up here. But it's interesting, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your scrip nor purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. He intentionally sent them out with nothing. And he did it for a reason. And we'll talk about it and explain it on Sunday. But that's going to affect this meeting. This whole thing here, that is a meeting. Those two people are meeting up together. This, the way this guy here, who's making the journey, meets with that guy, is going to be, he has nothing. These are the apostles. They don't have anything. And there's a reason behind that. And the reason really is highlighted in the next verse. He says in verse 11, "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire." An inquiry. "Inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence." Verse 12, "And when ye come into an house, salute it." And by the way, the house he's talking about in verse 12 is not the house that he's talking about, or the residence that he's talking about in verse 11. This is when they're actually going out and doing their work in that city. They're going to go to a house to house. "And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city," now he's going to have them perform a gesture of disgust, "shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Well, I thought Jesus was sweet and meek and mild. Those are pretty terse words. Those are judgment words. Well, notice that whatever this salute is, it caused a reaction. And by their saluting, they're now waiting to see what the response is. The response is going to be verse 13. If the house be worthy, what would that be? A positive response. "Let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy," what's that? A negative response. What are their negative and positive response to? Use the word in verse 12. It's a negative. Let's start there. Let's get basic. To their salute. So that starts to tell you what that salute contains. Because whatever that salute contains, that person here is going to respond either unworthily to it in a negative way, or worthily to it in a positive way. Do you think this guy's salute was just simply, "I hope, how's your health, buddy?" That's not what he said. And I think there's plenty of information here that we can find out what he said. In fact, we'll find that a salute has three major principles behind it. And we'll see that on Sunday. But that's where we're going. And we're going to have some fun with this. And you guys that hung in there, the big kicker and payoff will be on Sunday. And so, sorry for the drudgery of this class, but hopefully you'll look back on it fondly after we get through Sunday. Any questions or comments before we leave?
And we greet them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're welcoming them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saluting us.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It means they are bringing
the message with them. Yep. The message of truth. Yep. Okay. Yep. It's a little broad, but that's right. You're on the track. Okay. And it's always good to be on the track instead of derailed the way I spend most of my time. All right. Well, I may be crazy for splitting hairs on this, but it just, if nothing else, at least one time, and I don't know how long it's been, somebody needs to teach that there's got to be a difference between salute and greet, and why the translators saw that, why God preserved that in His Word to us in the English, and not just toss it by and say, "Well, it doesn't really matter." I think it does matter.
It's very deep.
Yeah.
When I read it first, the greeting I got more because it's welcoming, but the salutations, I went more with the honoring somebody.
Mm-hmm.
21 canons.
I know, and I went.
And
yeah.
And so on, and you just said nobody is better than the other.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and see, what you were able to see in 15 seconds, it took me an hour or so to think through and finally...
Not
finally, I keep going down, and it's just, it's what how is it Keith used to talk to me about it? It's a dry well. And I go to the bottom of the thing and find it's just another dry well. But you're right. And you, that's how you start eliminating and say, well, that can't be, because they're not one more important than the other. We're not saluting rank here. What are we saluting? We're saluting in that manner of Matthew 10, but as members of the body of Christ with an entirely different message given through the Apostle Paul. And that's what we're going to inquire about in a particular way. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll stop right there then, if nothing else. We'll kick it off next Sunday with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we again are thankful for the accuracy of your word and for us to be able to pick these threads up and say there's much that you're doing here, and yet we can come to an appreciation because you have seen fit to teach it, to describe it, to give us definitions of it within the very Word of God itself. And so it makes your Word even all that much more valuable to us this evening. We once again thank you for these matters that we can spend time on that will yield to us great riches of your Word and understanding and further edification so that we might be properly outfitted to labor with you as members of this body of Christ today in all that you're doing. We again thank you for these things. We pray for your wisdom in all these matters, and especially are grateful for the cross of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, that we have all these things tonight that are ours and glorious and wonderful and eternal, all because of his cross. We thank you again for these things and pray for your wisdom in these matters, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You are dismissed.